In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, if I've not had a chance to say it to you so far, Happy New Year, and indeed, Happy New Decade. My hope and prayer for us all in 2020 is that it will be a good one, and that you will be blessed with fruitfulness and with peace. But one thing that is certain for us is that this year, and possibly the first half of the 20s, will be a time of rapid and great change. If I had to describe our current generation in one or two words, it would probably be fast changing. We are living in a generation that does not want to commit to anything for long before moving on to the next new thing. Christmas decorations may seem to go up earlier every year, but they come down earlier as well. And this year I know of some people who took down some of their decorations on Boxing Day. So much for the 12 days of Christmas. So for the avoidance of doubt, if your decorations are still up, they should come down today, 12th night. Tomorrow, being the 6th of January, marks the official start of Epiphany and is the day when we celebrate Jesus being visited by the wise men from the east. We just happen to be celebrating that a day early in church this morning. And our reading reminds us that the call of Jesus should provoke a response in us. It may be a response of journey towards him in wonder and desire to know more, as it was for the shepherds and for the Magi. It may be a response of fear and rejection, as it was for Herod. Either way, it should cause us to respond with some form of action. And hopefully, it will be a response driven by love and wonder, rather than fear and rejection. We love because God first loved us. Loved us so much that he became one of us and died on the cross to restore our broken relationship with him. And our response to that love, if it is a magi or shepherd's response, is to want to journey with Jesus, to follow in his footsteps, take up our cross and follow him. And that means being ready and willing to give all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and all our strength in loving him as he first loved us. And this is not achieved in 1 hour a week in church on a Sunday morning, nor is it achieved in a vague New Year's resolution that may last for a few days or weeks. And it is not something that, like Christmas, for most of the secular world, we spend a few weeks building up to, and then as soon as we arrive, we pack it all away again, forget it, and move on to the next shiny new thing. And this is why we shall be spending the season of Epiphany looking at discipleship. Normally, in my sermons during this season, we look at the way in which Jesus is revealed to us and reveals himself to us as the Son of God. But this year, I want to look at what our own personal response should be to that revelation. In 2 of our readings over the coming weeks, we will hear how Jesus called his first disciples to follow him, and how immediately they did. But what is, or was, a disciple? Now, there was some discussion in the news this week of the definition of an ethical vegan. According to the courts, to be an ethical vegan is more than just a lifestyle choice about what food to eat. It is an embedded set of philosophical beliefs that control the way you relate to the rest of the world. If you didn't hear this or read about it in the news, don't worry. But if you did, then what you heard may be helpful to understand what the difference was between a true disciple and a mere follower in the time of Jesus. You see, anybody could follow a rabbi's teaching, or even several rabbis, picking and choosing the bits of teaching that suited them and ignoring the rest. The word disciple, which we usually translate as follower or student, and the word discipline have the same root. And here is the key. To be a disciple meant that you attached yourself to one particular rabbi and you committed to living according to his rules, his lists of what behavior was allowed and what was prohibited, according to his interpretation of the Torah, the law. When you agreed with a rabbi that you could be his disciple and live totally and exclusively according to his rules, this was called taking on the rabbi's yoke. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus did not actually command us to do very much. He told us the most important commandments were to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. So we will be looking at what it means to love in this way. He told us to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them into the Church of Christ and teaching them how to live as Christians. So we will be looking at how we do that. Jesus' yoke may be easy, but it is also costly, and it requires lifelong commitment. If we are to be his disciples, then we must take up his yoke. And his yoke is the way of the cross. It is the way of love and the way of self-sacrifice. A couple of days ago, I was with a couple talking about a future baptism for their daughters. While I was there, a neighbour popped in to see the new baby. The Magi in today's reading from Matthew did not just hop in a taxi and pop over to see Mary and her new baby. It was a long and probably dangerous journey. The journey was probably weeks in the planning and months, if not years, in execution. They didn't have in-flight meals included in the ticket. Their attendants, servants, bodyguards and animals would have needed food and provisions. It was not just a long and dangerous journey, but an expensive one. And they didn't just turn up, put their hands in their pockets and find that they just happened to have some spare gold and frankincense and myrrh left over. They chose these gifts in advance and brought them as a deliberate act of worship, and the costs they incurred were willingly and joyfully made. Being a disciple of Christ means giving our time and effort and money and love in his service. And it means prayerful and planned giving of the first and the best of them. Not giving up whatever dregs are left over when everything else in life is finished with. So today we are marking a journey of exploration into what it means to be of a disciple of Christ in today's world. And we shall finish in 5 weeks' time with an act of commitment to discipleship in our main service for all those who want to join in. But before we do that, we need to spend time making ourselves ready. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul said that although Jesus was God, he emptied himself, becoming obedient even to death on a cross. And he challenged the Philippians to be of the same mind. And so the question that I want you to take away and prayerfully consider this week is this. Are you ready to come with me on a journey to explore how we too can be of the same mind and how you personally should respond to the one who loved you so much that he gave up everything and died for you? Amen.